actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
And a very pleasant good Saturday morning. Welcome to Sports Talk. I'm Greg Ray, Tim Miller, and this morning we're joined by a very special guest as we'll be visiting with Emporia State's new athletic director, David Spafford, throughout the morning here for at least the next 20 minutes or so, next half hour, and we'll get to know David Spafford a little better. Just to let you know, Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongmontAuto.com, and hopefully you've got your umbrellas ready to go today. It's out and raining, and maybe a chance to take it easy getting this Saturday, the 4th of July weekend, underway. And first off, David, welcome to Emporia, or should I say welcome back to Emporia, since you've been here before, not living or officially associated with Emporia, but with the Shrine Bowl and through some of your other activities. You've been through Emporia before, but now you're going to be officially an Emporian.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, and thank you to the radio station for all their support to Emporia State all these years. We really, really makes a difference for us to help get our brand out and support our student athletes and take care of the university. So it's exciting to be back. We're really, our family's just really excited to be here, to be able to come back to Kansas and be a part of something very, very special.
So let's get all the formalities out of the way. Where'd you grow up and where'd you go to school and all that kind of fun stuff?
Well, we grew up originally down in New Orleans, and then we moved to Belleville, Kansas, and lived up there, went to high school, and then from that point went to Kansas State. As we were just talking about before we got on the air, took a year off or two from after playing the Kansas Shrine Bowl, then went to Kansas State, played there, went out for football, had an injury, about wrapped it up, and then got involved with coaching football at Manhattan Middle School for 3 years and Manhattan High School for 3 years or 2.5 years. And then from there, we went to UMKC, was very, very fortunate to get on board with Dick Martin there, who used to be at Ottawa U and was part of the Missouri Valley Conference Commissioner for a really long time, and was Big 8 Commissioner or Associate Commissioner for a long time, too. Then Kansas State called me back, and they wanted to start an office there in Kansas City to work with all the alumni, the Catbacker groups on the extreme eastern side of the state. Had a great time. Ernie Barrett, Max Urich, thank you again. I know you're both, hopefully you can listen to this and be there. But y'all, you know, I really appreciate that opportunity to be there for 6 years, work with a great staff. We had a lot of success. I learned a lot from them. I learned a lot from Coach Snyder and everybody there. And then from that point was able to go work with Jim Schaus and Don and Shirley. Well, Don Begg, Shirley was his wife. She was pretty awesome. And so we were able to work down there and get the roundhouse renovated, and brought on Mark Turgeon as the coach. Got a chance to work with Gene Stevenson down there too, and we just had a great time getting some things taken care of and moving those programs forward along the way.
Of course, I was at Wichita State,
right?
And then, of course, you've been to a number of other places since then as well.
That is correct. So I took a little time off to go home and look after Mom and Dad before they passed, and then worked on the farms a little bit, and then we got back into college athletics at Arkansas State, and then down at New Mexico, and I got to work with Ray, a number of people down there, and then from there we moved into working on the foundation side, the endowment side, and worked on the billion-dollar campaign at Oklahoma State, and had a great opportunity to learn how that maneuvers and how you flow with that, with everybody going into all the fundraising side of things and having to, work with the state support shrinking as it has over the years. We've got to act more like a private. And so we had that opportunity to work with them. And then Kansas State called again, and we got to talking, and so we moved back up that way. Worked there on their middle part of their billion-dollar campaign, and then had the opportunity to go to Regis from that point.
And then you've been the athletic director at Regis for what, 6.5 years?
Correct, 6.5 years.
6.5 years. And what do you feel like you learned from Regis that will maybe help you out here at Emporia State?
Well, I think the first thing is when you sit in the chair, every decision you make impacts multiple people on multiple different levels. So you have to stick to your core values of who you are and how you manage and what you take care of, how you take care of your business, number one. Number two, it gave me the opportunity to really put together an overall business plan from start to finish. And, we've been at all these different schools, everybody has, been super on how we've managed, and we learned, what is important to that particular school. You know, it's great. We've been all over the country. We've been doing all these different things at different schools. But from at that point, it gave me the opportunity to really sit down and kind of walk through and learn, okay, who are we? Who do we aspire to be? How do we want to get to where we want to be? And so being at Regis gave me that opportunity to be able to scale down, get down to the basics, put the data together, and see on the business side, what do we need to do to be champions? How do we need to be successful with the NCAA tournament and the majority of our sports? Where are we with each sport at this point in time to be able to build that? And so that's what we worked on and putting that together. And that gave me the opportunity to be able to be better prepared for this opportunity here at Emporia State.
What drew you to ESU?
Well, that goes back, like we were just talking, back to the 80s. And just having that opportunity to come into town, coaching at Manhattan High football, back in the late 80s, like we were just talking. And just the support, the community support has always drew me back to kind of like, someday, if things would ever work out, the timing was right, and had the opportunity to come back here to be a part of something like this, it'd be really special to be a part of it. And 35 years later, here we are. How about that?
Yeah. So full circle here. Right?
Yeah, full circle, yeah. Full circle. But it's really been good. I think you also look at where we are here at Emporia State. I mean, with President Hush being named, and he's so dynamic and has a great plan. He wants to be the best. He wants the best for Emporia and best for the Emporia State. And to me, being able to see that and learn from him to see what his vision is and where we want to go, and then also taking a look at, when he came together and they pulled together everything for the crossover tennis complex and how a lot of those dynamics came together to make that work. There's a lot of things, some synergy going on right now that I see that was very, very similar to what we went through in Manhattan back in the late 80s, early 90s, and then especially at Wichita State when we were able to come together, pull, as we always, the big four in Wichita together and have that opportunity to have them believe in the business plan, believe in the plan that we want to do. This is where we inspire to be and what we want to be. And those gentlemen, they all believe in what Don Beggs and Jim Schaus, and we all put together for them to be able to evaluate. And sure enough, we got that done. And the impact that's made economically back in the Wichita region and then also in Manhattan and then for the state has been phenomenal, obviously, as we've seen that over the years. And I see those things here. And to me, every once in a while in life you get an opportunity to be a part of something really special like that. Knocking on wood, I've been a part of it twice and hopefully a third time as we get ready to roll forward here.
So when you went through the interview process, obviously you saw, okay, hey, Kent Weiser's stepping down. Here's a chance to go back and check out Emporia State. When you had a chance to get on campus, do a little research, your background search and everything, what is it that kind of struck you about Emporia State that said, yeah, hey, I think this is still someplace I can make a difference at?
Mm-hmm. Well, we took a look at where we are as a program and where we want to go. And so I think there's a lot of opportunity there that I think bringing my experiences to the table, working with our staff and the university collaboratively, is going to be very important. And then from that point, the support of the community is just phenomenal. And I just, those types of things were there. There's a number of things that I know President Hush is working on right now that will help make a difference, putting some things together. And as I walked through that, learned, got to meet a lot of the staff, the coaching staff. I mean, there's just a great group of people here who want to win, who want to do it the right way. Kent's just done a great job of doing all that, setting that foundation. And so we got an opportunity to move that forward and to keep that moving in the right direction.
Well, obviously, fundraising will be a huge part of that, no question. Mm-hmm. I'm sure in your mind and everybody else's, I'm sure.
It is. It always is. That's, I grew up on that side of the house in college athletics, and it's the natural go-to. We have to take a look at where we are in regards to our overall revenue generation and what does that look like? How do we impact and how do we work with our community? How do we work with the region to be able to bring those relationships there? It would be exciting once we get started to be able to sit down with the staff. I want to learn from them. I want to see where they have been, What are their goals? Where do they want to go? Where are we in the community? Talking to our community partners, learning from what is it like to be a part of Hornet Nation? How do I, you know, let's get indoctrinated here. Let's get going. Let's get the colors on and get excited and keep and build it from there and see what we can do.
And that's the one thing I've noticed with entities, whether it's private or public, if you're building something, there's excitement around it, and you get more people involved. Somebody says, hey, something exciting is going on here. I want to be a part of it. And sometimes that can be a perpetual motion type of thing.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And that's, you know, and that's key to the whole thing that we've got right now. There's great momentum right now, it feels like. Just from talking to Ken, talking to members of the committee, and again, thank you to the committee and Ken for the opportunity. There's just, you know, talking to the committee members who are on – multiple different parts of the community with the city council and everything. You know, there's a lot of synergy going on right here in Emporia in regards to our local partners and then among the region. So to me, when I look at this, you know, we've got some great opportunities to partner with some great people to really make the difference that we want to move this program forward.
Have you had a chance to meet all the coaches yet, or is that still something that you're – still working on in a short time you've been here?
That's still something I'm working on. Yeah. And, you know, it's summertime in college athletics and right around July. So, I mean, everybody's trying to sneak that week or two in. You know, I hope everybody's getting a chance to recharge. You know, the years, it's a long year. Every year it's a long grind. And so hopefully the staff's getting that opportunity to be able to kind of get rejuvenated, take a little time off, you know, turn off those phones and, you know, and get a little break in the action.
Yeah, and when you look at Emporia State, from an athletic standpoint, competitive standpoint, we've shown over the years that Emporia State can be and is competitive year in and year out, not in just a couple of sports, but in just about every sport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I saw. And, you know, over the years watching, you know, from afar, the success is there. We can have that success. There's no reason why we can't. I think we just have to work on looking at what we need to do and how do we emulate that, and then, you know, move ourselves forward with, you know, how do we move ourselves up in the MIAA? You know, do we go from, you know, where we are right now to the upper half? You know, and what is it going to take to do that? What's the commitment that we're going to need on multiple different levels to be able to move ourselves in that direction? I've always, you know, in talking to President Hush, you know, we want to get back in the top 100 right now of the Learfield sports standings, you know, which is the national, you know, standings that we have out there, and we've done it. So it's there. We just, you know, sometimes things just kind of evolve and kind of move, and we just got to kind of pick up and get going, and let's see what we got to do to get there.
You mentioned the MIAA. Your thoughts about the conference that you're about to be a part of?
Well, obviously it's one of the best in the Division II. And, you know, the RMAC's really strong. We, you know, they've done real well, too. So, I mean, I've been very fortunate to be a part of two really great conferences. Looking forward to be able to come into the MIAA, learn from – there's some great ADs. I've had the opportunity to meet a number of them over the years. And they've got great programs. So I'm looking forward to being able to be a part of that and learn from them. And let's continue to make the conference stronger in all the different areas, which, you know, our responsibility here at Emporia State is to continue to make the conference stronger. And so that's, you know, those are the things we've got to do. I think as AD, you know, it's my responsibility to help provide that vision of where we want to be and what do we aspire to be and how we're going to get there. And then from that point, make sure we're giving the resources that our coaches and our teams, our student athletes need to have the best experience possible while they're here. And, you know, I've always, you know, it's a progression, you know, as I look at when we bring on a student athlete, we want to make sure they're, by the time they walk in the door to when they leave, that they're the best person and the best academic they can be and the best student athlete they can be. So when they walk across the stage, they receive that diploma, and then they also have a championship ring on their finger and a job waiting on them when they get out. And that's been something that I've worked on for years. Kent's family member actually kind of taught me that when he was over at Kansas State and at that time. And so it was just something that's always stuck with me. And it's our responsibility to take care of our kids and take care of it the right way. And so as we move forward, that's what we're going to continue to do.
We're visiting with new Emporia State Athletic Director David Spafford this morning on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. And if you do have a question for David, we'd be more than happy to take your phone call. You can call us at the radio station, 620-342-3400. 5863. Again, that's 620-342-5863. And we'd be more than happy to take your questions if you have a question for David. But he's it's not until July 17th that you officially take your seat on the hot seat, so to speak. And there's a lot that's going to have to take place for you, I'm sure, personally, get moved and all those kind of things. But how excited are you just to get started and get your feet on the ground and get going at Emporia State?
I can't tell you how excited we are. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm ready to go now. But I do know I have responsibilities back to Regis, and they know how it all works. We're just ready to go. You know, we're already here. We're working on getting the settling down a little bit and seeing where things are. We've got to get the daughters taken care of, make sure Jacqueline and Cameron are, you know, ready to go in school here come August and get those things in play. So we're moving fast. This is a pretty fast transition. It's truly right at 14 days that I gave back to Regis. And President Teach, she's been great. And she understands, and she's, you know, they're all pretty excited. But we're, you know, as we move forward to the staff, we've already been talking a lot already. I'm kind of working with two staffs right now, I feel like, and it's great, you know. And I just, you know, we're just grinding it out and going. It's really exciting.
And somehow, some way, it'll all get done.
Sooner or later, it'll all get done. You're exactly right.
Well, tell us a little bit about your family.
Well, I've got my wife, Brianna, who's here. We've been married for right at 19 years. We met at Wichita State. And then my four older kids, Christopher, Danielle, Patrick, and Alex, they're all 31 down to 26. I'm pretty sure that's correct. Sorry about that, saying that on the air like that. But they're doing great. And then Jacqueline and Cameron. Cameron's going to be a sophomore in high school. Jacqueline's going to be in sixth grade, and so they're ready to come back home and be around the family. We've got family down in Wellington, Kansas, all the way up to Overland Park, up to St. Joe, Missouri, and then we get over to Belleville, Kansas, where the farms are, and everybody there too.
Yeah, obviously it had to have been a draw too, just to get back to family, I'm assuming.
Oh, it has been. Yeah, I mean, we really enjoyed Denver. You know, we got 3 million of our best friends with us. It's a little bit different. You know, I'm more of a small town guy, and we've been really itching to be able to get back this direction again and be back in the Flint Hills. Nothing like a Kansas sunset. You know, driving in last night, man, there was a great one coming in as we were going through Colby and you know, over towards Waukini, and it was just, you know, it's like, all right, we're back home. This is great. You know, let's get this thing rolling.
Yeah. So as you look at Emporia State right now, where do you see the strengths of the athletic department?
I see the strengths in a number of our staff, you know, administratively, but also with our coaching staff. And I think there's some great opportunities. Obviously, Coach Higgins and Coach Doty have just done a fantastic job over the years and everything. I'm looking forward to really dive in with them, but I also want to dive in with the rest of the staff. I believe in building an overall program, not just one or two. But the other two are the kind of your driving force for a lot of different things that we've got to take care of and make sure everybody's in line to help build the program like we need to.
It does seem like as football goes, so goes the rest of the season, it seems like, and mm-hmm. football, and then, of course, men's basketball is usually your big draw. But, of course, here at Emporia State, women's basketball has also been a huge draw. And, of course, women's athletics, with this being the 50th anniversary of Title mm-hmm. IX, that's one thing I think Emporia State has to be really proud of, the success they've had in women's athletics over the years.
Well, they really have. We've done a nice job, and it's been pretty exciting to see what's happened in women's basketball and volleyball, and you know, you're rolling into our track program. You know, just overall, the track program's just done a great job, and it'll be exciting to be able to host the national championships in 24. I've already talked to Paul Plinski at CSU Pueblo. They're hosting in 23, so Paul and I have been plotting a little bit about, all right, what are you doing and how are you going to do it? We're going to be out there to, you know, watch and take notes and, you know, get ready to go. So it's but the women's programs have been very strong over the years, which is really nice to be able to have that. I'm looking forward to, you know, what else can we do to celebrate the Title IX, you know, 50th anniversary. I know we had some things that we were doing back in Denver. I'd like to be able to find out from the staff and learn from the staff, okay, but hey, how can we continue to celebrate our Title IX 50th anniversary this year, and let's get it taken care of and get going. Yeah.
I know that, you know, the things like NIL and transfer portal that hasn't really affected Division II, certainly not near to the degree as it has Division I, but as far as your from your perspective, what has changed so much in athletics over the time you've been in it? I mean, it's changed greatly, but I'm just curious your thoughts on that. How you've had to adapt, and people involved in athletics have had to adapt.
Well, I'm sitting back, you know, when I look back at what year was that? 96, I think, when we went from the Big 8 to the Big 12. You know, back then it was. Division I athletics was a little bit more like Division II is how I've seen it. I've been very fortunate to be at multiple Division I programs at different levels, so from the Power Five schools down to Missouri Valley to Sun Belt, Independent, and all that. And so I've really had a great opportunity to be able to learn and see, you know, the business side of that, you know, how much the conferences, you know, actually give back to the each school from their NCAA allotment. It's obviously very, very significant when you go from Power Five, when you get down to the next couple levels down there. So as we walk through that process, I think the biggest thing is the business side of it that's really changed. You know, when we went from the Big 8 to the Big 12, you know, I'm sitting there in our first Big 12 development meetings down in San Antonio, Texas. And so we had, you know, University of Texas here at Texas A&M, Baylor, and Texas Tech. And it was just, you know, us guys from all the ag schools, you know, we're sitting there kind of looking at these guys, and it was just, it was really pretty funny. We're sitting there, so Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, we're all sitting there listening to them, and they're all trying to outdo each other on the biggest scoreboard. I mean, we're talking like who has one more foot or who has one more seat in their stadium, and they're already like 80 to 90,000, right? And we're just all looking at each other. We're just trying to get people to come to our games right now. And, you know, that whole dynamic, that paradigm shift was huge. As soon as we got into the Big 12, it was just all business. I mean, it just changed everything. The student athletes were there 12 months out of the year. And then the commitment that was needed from everybody to be able to compete at that level, to be able to bring in that type of revenue. To have the fans there to be able to support everything, either through donations or season tickets. It was just a whole different ball of wax. And, you know, it's trickling down to Division II. You know, it's getting a little bit more like that. We got a little bit of an arms race going on in regards to facilities right now. You know, we've got to continue to work with our budgeting to make sure we have the right scholarship allotment and making sure that we can offer the student athletes that we need to be competitive to be able to move the program forward. You know, we've got to give them the right type of experience. You know, we want to give a best-in-class experience here. And so what does that look like? So being able to draw from some of those Division I programs, it gives me a chance to be able to say, hey, you know, this is how we did it here. Now let's do it for Emporia State. And what is it we need to do for Emporia State to make it work? But then giving our student athletes that type of experience with Division II values, that's huge. That's a great opportunity to be able to do that. And that's some of the things that I've worked with. Again, Regis has helped me build that. I'll put that softball locker room we did back in 6 years ago, and I'll put up against any Big 12 program in the country or any Big 12 school in the conference, because that's how we do it, and that's what we want. We want to give that type of experience for our kids. And so that's really, when you look at it, those are some of the big factors in how the transitions happened all these years. Now it's even at a bigger level than it ever was. I think the last 10 years has really exploded in regards to all this TV revenue that's coming in. I mean, you've got to keep rolling with that. You know, when you're looking at getting $45 million from the TV revenue, yeah. I mean, you know, when I was at Kansas State, it was $13.9 million budget. Max Schert came in the office right that second year before I left or so, and he goes, hey, all right, what's the fundraising staff done? Here's our $2 million for the day. What have you guys done? You know, and we're just sitting here, okay, coach, we're out making our calls. We're getting it done. But that's the reality. You're going from $2 million to $45 million. There's another – that difference there is just something else when you look at it.
And that's why you see UCLA and USC making the jump to the Big Ten, and it's that funding and trying to keep up with – the Joneses and all that kind of fun stuff. So aren't you glad you're not taking over a program that's in the Pac-12 right now?
Yes, I will keep my comments to myself on that. But it's always a dynamic when that happens, that transition. It's hard to, because you know the relationships that are there, you know, the teams competing against each other. I mean, it's just really hard to when you start going in that direction. But, you know, sometimes, you know, college athletics, it's being driven that way right now. And, you know, I think as athletic directors and administrators and presidents, you know, those are things that we've got to take a look at of, you know, how we're going to keep feeding the monster. You know, Barry Switzer wrote in his book, Bootlegger Boy, I think that was right. I think I got that right. You know, he talks about feeding the monster. You know, they built OU the way they did, and then you got to keep feeding it. You got to keep going. The expectations keep rising and keep moving up, and it's, you know, similar to what we went through at Wichita State. You know, we changed things there. We moved we brought the, you know, the basketball program elevated up. Gene was already doing a great job, you know, with the baseball program and getting that where it was. And then the expectation drives, hey, we got to keep staying going to the NCAA tournament every year. And so then you got to keep feeding the monster, as Barry always called it.
Yeah. Well, I know you have other things that you need to take care of today here in Emporia. David, thanks for stopping by. Thanks for taking time out and visiting with us today. And we look forward to working with you hopefully for a long time.
I hope so, too. Looking forward to it. Thank you again for everything. And, hey, if you haven't got your football season tickets, let's get out there and pack the Welch this year. We need your support. The guys play a lot harder when it's full and ready to go. So always got to be promoting. We got to try to get out there, right?
So are done our season football season tickets on sale now?
We're in the middle of renewals right now. We want to make sure that everybody who had it, because we've changed to a new ticketing system, so we're making sure that's all taken care of. And I believe it's next week that we will start for new ticket sales.
All right. So
go to ESUHornets.com, find the ticket spot, go right to it.
And get your season tickets, not only for football, but for all the sports at Emporia State, and help support all the athletes. Well, David, again, thanks. Again, congratulations on being selected the next athletic director at Emporia State University, and what an exciting time to be a part of Emporia State.
Thank you very much, and Hornet Nation, Stingers up. Let's go.
All right, Stingers up. That is David Spafford, who is the new athletic director at Emporia State University, joining us this morning on Sports Talk. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more right after this timeout. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongmineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmineAuto.com. Greg Ray along with Tim Miller. Again, a big thank you to new Emporia State Athletic Director David Spafford for stopping by and spending time and sharing some of his thoughts and some of his expectations. And you know, if you're an Emporia State Hornet, with the changes that have been made here the last couple of weeks, with Ken Hush being hired as president and then David Spafford being hired as the athletic director, you know, last week we had Kent Weiser on wrapping up his 23 years, and I think he's did a phenomenal job during his 23 years and put Emporia State in a very good position. And the next step, okay, how can we take it to the next step? And I think that David has some really good ideas, and hopefully we can get the Hornet Nation behind him and help Emporia State accomplish those goals and turn Emporia State into – it's already a class university, a top-notch university, and just make it better.
Well, and you can certainly, see why he was hired. I mean, the credentials are certainly there.
Oh, yeah.
He's been at a lot of schools. He's seen a lot of things, learned a lot. And now it'll be just exciting to watch what transpires moving forward. With change comes opportunity, and a lot of changes on the campus, and it's just a nice buzz about Emporia State right now.
Yeah, and it's costing more and more to educate students,
mm-hmm.
and that means it's going to cost more for scholarships. It's going, and then you want to try to keep up best you can with facilities. Emporia State has some really nice facilities, but to keep those facilities nice, it takes money. And the same if you want to add to facilities, that takes money. And if you want to have the best, it's going to take money to hire your coaches and keep your coaches hired and happy. And I kind of agree with him. Emporia State's at a very unique opportunity, almost like a fork in the road. Which direction are you going to go? It'll be exciting to see the direction that Emporia State takes over the next 5 years, see where Emporia State is 5 years from now. I think that's a good place for Emporia State. We mentioned UCLA and USC making the switch from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten, which is soon to become, I guess, the Big 16 and the Big 20, maybe. And
it's far from over.
Oh yeah,
there's going to be so much more movement down the road. I think that what everyone's been predicting for a while, I think, will eventually come to fruition. I think you're going to have, maybe a handful or less of power conferences. And I can see them running their own show. I think we're heading to 64 or 74 schools that will be out there on their own. How many conferences that is, I don't know. Is it 324 teams? Is it 232 teams? Whatever the case may be, it's just going to get crazier and crazier, I think, as time goes along. I think you have a lot of schools right here in Big 12 country wondering what's next. I know they've added some schools, but by the same token, if you're going to jump in there and be with the SECs and now the Big Tens of the world, I think you'll see more Big 12 schools eventually jumping ship and going somewhere else.
Well, my hope is that maybe they can work out a deal with some of the Pac-12 schools that are left. And, if the goal is to get to 16 teams, or maybe even SEC and the Big Ten, maybe they want to get to 20 teams.
Yeah, for 2024, I mean, it's just nuts.
And, the two conferences that are kind of in limbo are probably the Big 12 and the ACC.
Yeah.
The challenge that the ACC has is that they have a pretty nice television contract already that's good through – for quite a while.
Yeah, I think it's 2030 something. I mean, they still have several years left.
And when you start reading some of the background stuff on some of this, a lot of people are pointing fingers at ESPN and Fox Sports.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
As the ones who are really facilitating a lot of this movement.
Well, David talked about TV revenue and stuff like that. I mean, that's what's driving it. I mean, obviously, the economics of it all. I think that what's going to be very interesting is to see where Notre Dame falls in place here. They're still independent in football. I don't know how much longer they can go down that road. I think eventually they will have to make a choice as to what they're going to do, and I think that's going to be the big one.
And I'm not sure if they still have their NBC rights.
Yeah, I don't know. Deal. I thought they did, but I could be wrong.
And because I think if it hasn't ended already, it's getting close to end.
Oh, yeah.
And NBC is not going to re-up just Notre Dame. They're going to have to find a conference to hook their wagon to, so to speak. And then Notre Dame's going to look at it and say, okay, we can make more money with this conference versus this conference, and so we'll go with this conference. the television revenue possibilities are greater. And for me, Notre Dame kind of fits in with the Big Ten.
Yep, I would agree.
Where they're situated geographically, right in the middle of Big Ten country. And they've got, having been on their campus this last November with Emporia State Lady Hornets and walking around their campus and taking a tour through their football facility. And, that's an old stadium. It probably could use some renovation, but they do a nice job of keeping it up. In fact, for Notre Dame football, their main locker room's not at the stadium. It's at their practice facility.
Yep.
And they have a game day locker room at the stadium, which they have the whole group. They have the equipment people transfer everything from the practice for game day situations and transfer everything over to the game day locker room, because we walked through the game day locker room, but there was nothing in it. there was no equipment in there, but they it's a storied and historic locker room, and they had that well displayed and to remind the players exactly what they're playing for and who they're playing for and those type of things. But, yeah, this conference alignment driven by football, driven by the networks, driven by money.
Well, you wonder, too, in the case of UCLA and USC, because that's a huge jump in terms of time zones. How will that affect fans? How will that affect recruiting? I mean, it's going to be interesting for those schools as they move through this process just to see how that affects them, whether it's positive or whether it's negative. But, when you're not going to be playing teams in your own state for the most part,
yeah.
Other than maybe some non-conference games, the travel is going to be pretty brutal. I'm sure, ask West Virginia in terms of how travel has affected them. So I don't know. As you say, it's certainly dollar driven, and football is steering this thing and will. But I also be very curious to see what happens competitively to schools like Oklahoma, Texas. OU's ruled the roost in terms of the Big 12 conference in football.
Yeah.
What's going to happen now when they get to the SEC? My prediction is that will end with all the competition that's there. So I don't know. It is kind of a fascinating thing to sit back and watch and see who goes where.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a lot more to come.
There's a lot more to come. We need to get another break in. We'll take our final break, and then we'll be back with our closing segment right after this timeout. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongmineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongmineAuto.com. Greg Ray along with Tim Miller. And before we go any further, I need to send out a congratulations to the Emporia Reds U-12 team. They won the U-AAA Class A State Championship last weekend. They went 6-0 in that tournament and had a great run. Defeated B-Town, which is Baxter Springs, 9-8 in the championship game. Also, congratulations to the Reds' 8-and-under team. They played in the league up in Topeka this past summer. They finished in second place, going 13-1 in that league. The only loss was to the team that won the league.
and it was their first game of the season. So I'm sure they'd like to play them again. But congratulations to them. Next weekend, they'll be playing in the Sunflower State Games, and then the following weekend, then they'll be playing in a true USSSA tournament in Kansas City. So congratulations to the Emporia Reds 8-and-under team and the Emporia Reds U-12 team. So they won the USSSA Class A State Championship last weekend. And the Reds U-13 team, they made it to the C-Bracket Championship game last weekend at the AA State Tournament before losing in that championship game. And to all the Summer League teams, Emporia Reds, Emporia Energy, congratulations on an outstanding season. Emporia Spartan baseball teams, the senior and the junior team, they are off this next week, because High School Activities Association has said coaches can't work with high school student athletes during that time. So since Anthony Markowitz coaches one of those teams, they said, well, we'll just take a break and take a little bit of a breather, and then they'll close out July and their season, and the same with the seniors. But I think they have a game on the 6th against Olpe, since they're being coached by somebody other than one of the Emporia High coaches. They can squeeze in some games, but wish them well, and hopefully they can pick up a couple more wins as their summer wraps up as well. Again, the Emporia Spartans used to be previous year's Emporia Legion teams. This year, because of the way things worked out, numbers and the age of some of the killers, they just decided to just go with the Spartans and play some developmental games and get some games in. And last week, the Senior Legion played in a tournament at McPherson. They have, at the end, will close out their season with another tournament in McPherson, but they have a couple games between here and there. Their next game will be the 6th against Olpe. Believe it or not, today is the 2nd, so we're less than a month in the Chiefs opening up training camp. They'll open up the end of July, and then, of course, Emporia State will welcome the players back on the 8th and have their first practice on August the 9th. So we're about 5 weeks away from that taking place.
Wow.
And then Emporia High, the fall sports will start on August the 15th, I believe it is, 15th or 17th, somewhere in that area. And so we're getting closer to them getting started. We Riley Wagner, who's our sports intern and newsroom intern this summer, did a little story with Coach Tuttle and talked to a couple of the Spartans, and numbers were up this summer.
I was just going to say, I had heard on the sports that numbers were up. That's good to hear.
And not just for football, but for other sports. The numbers in the weight room during the summer are up. I saw one day where there were 220
wow.
kids in the weight room that particular day. Of course, they do it in sessions and in sections, so it's you don't have 220 kids in the weight room at one time. You won't get a lot done.
Right.
Or you'll be in there a long time trying to get everything done.
It's great to hear, because, you're so concerned about sagging numbers in terms of participation. And so that's good news. Good news.
So there's still a lot going on. Last night, Royals win.
Hey. Trying to climb out of the cellar.
Oh, they are one game back of Detroit. If they win today, they'll be tied for fourth place with Detroit in the AL Central. If they win on Sunday, they would put them in fourth place.
Go for the sweep.
They wouldn't be in last place anymore. They have Houston coming up next week. And believe it or not, All-Star games or All-Star breaks not that far away. It'll start on the 18th. The All-Star break.
You would have a suspicion that the Royals will be somewhat active by the trade deadline. You would certainly make that assumption. I would hope they would be. Of course, they already made a move.
They traded
Santana.
Carlos Santana went to Seattle, and one of the pitchers that they acquired in that deal, who they sent to Omaha, they've already called back up. So he'll be joining the Royals' big league team. And, of course, unfortunately, with the new collective bargaining agreement, the pitching staffs are limited to 13 pitchers. So you can't stockpile your pitching and your bullpen. A lot of guys might be making trips between Kansas City and Omaha, but more on a –
just a transaction. Okay, this guy, we'll send him to Omaha, but he won't physically glow. You just stay here, and we'll make the transaction of somewhere else. Once that guy pitches, we'll send him back down, and I wouldn't be surprised to see a bunch of that taking place.
There's a bunch of bouncing back and forth.
Bouncing back and forth with pitchers who have those options. Vinny Pascantino gets his first career home run for the Royals last night. He had to hold his breath for a little bit because it just hit above the wall and the railing, and weren't quite sure because it bounced back onto the field, so you weren't quite sure if it just hit the top of the wall or if it hit the railing. Once they looked at it, yep, it was a home run, his first hit, a home run. And
this is the guy that many Royals fans have been clamoring to call up. He was tearing it up in the minors. And of course, when Santana was traded, he got his opportunity. So hopefully, he can perform well and earn a spot full time.
Well, and hopefully, you mentioned hopefully there will be some more moves. Possibly, maybe Whit Merrifield's a possibility. Hopefully, he can catch fire a little bit, and then. Andrew Benintendi, who's been
I would say Benintendi and maybe a guy like Barlow could be your two hot names by the break. I mean, I would think those guys would draw a lot of interest.
Barlow picking up his 11th save in last night's game. He goes an inning and a third, gave up the only run. He did strike out one, walk one, gave up a run, but he was able to work out of the jam, and the Royals were able to get the win. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. John Sherman, one of the main owner for the Royals, spokesman, says the status quo is unacceptable.
Well, and you would certainly hope that was the case for him. I mean, obviously, this is a team that's been in a rebuild for quite a while. It's time for the rebuild to be done and start being a competitive baseball team again.
Yeah, he did make the comment. He believed that both Dayton Moore and J.J. Pecola, who's the general manager, are waking up every day of thinking of ways and trying to come up with ways to make the Royals competitive and contenders again. And if they're not, then they probably won't be around next year.
Well, I mean, like I said, I mean, you know, coming off the World Series in 2015, it was a dramatic fall off. You know, and now we're, 7 years removed? I mean, rebuilds should not take this long.
Well, at least I was hoping that, okay, you had to go through the rebuild when Dayton Moore took over, and it took longer than what he anticipated. Probably because I think I remember hearing him tell somebody, oh, by 2009 we'll be – well, it took him till 2014 to really start. So it was another 4 years before they finally got going. But I was hoping that he would have been able to develop the farm system enough so that you could just bring up the next wave. But that hasn't been the case. Part of it is, I think, though, too, you go back to that 13, 14, 15 time frame, and the Royals traded away some pretty good players to get ready-made players so that they could contend right away. And I don't think they were quite ready to withstand having to trade some quality minor leaguers. Now, would I have done it differently? No. Yeah. You do what you can do to make yourself a winner, but you would have hoped that somewhere along the line they would have been able to develop enough talent to bring it up to get that next wave going so that maybe this year they would have been contenders instead of maybe 2 years from now.
Well, and obviously they hadn't prepared very well for what was no doubt the losses in free agency. What are you talking, Hosmer, Moustakas? I mean, the list goes on. It just has not been a very well-ran organization for the most part, and certainly things have to change. And we watch other teams do it. I mean,
And the other part of the equation is there was a change in ownership.
Yep.
David Glass took over the Royals after Ewing Kauffman died, and there was a stretch where the Royals were just trying to survive and trying to make it an attractive monetary investment for somebody, and instead of thinking, okay, hey, let's make it so that this is an somebody wants to spend some money to buy it and keep it going. Instead, you were buying off the used car lot.
Well, yeah, because to make it a good monetary investment is you win baseball games.
Oh, yeah.
You put people in the seats. You know, you look at their run in 14-15. My gosh, I mean, the K was packed on a nightly basis. I mean, it's pretty sad to watch some TV games and see how many people are in the stands. It's I mean, they've got a lot of work ahead of them, I'm afraid.
They do. They'll be in action this afternoon. It's a 3:10 first pitch as Royals take on the Detroit Tigers. Will have the game for you here on KVOE. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us on this Saturday morning. Again, a big thank you to Emporia State's new athletic director, David Spafford. Congratulations on being the new athletic director, and welcome to Emporia, David. And look forward to hopefully an exciting run, or what should be a very exciting run as the athletic director, and a stretch of history in Emporia State, which could equal any of the explosive years of Emporia State athletic history, maybe even unequaled by any other stretch. And we wish them well and wish them luck, and welcome to Emporia. And also wish you all a very happy 4th of July. Be safe, and don't blow your fingers off.
Yeah. Be careful of those fireworks.
Yeah, be careful. Have some fun. For Tim Miller, I'm Greg Ray. Thanks for listening. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongmontAuto.com.
AM 1400 KVOE Emporia.